Well, good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from, the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. I used to love how Pastor Peters used to put that, and I guess that's why I try to include it in my radio broadcast that I'm privileged to be able to make. What a man. We're certainly not worthy to even polish his boots, our pastor, but here we are, October 1st, 2020. 10-1 is the date today, and it has been a beautiful day at the Radio Ranch. Blue skies, a little crisp. We're getting frost on the pumpkins in the morning and overnight, but we're getting up in the 60s during the day. It's been a beautiful day, a beautiful week here at the Radio Ranch. Got a big fire burning just west of us. We ask you to keep that in prayers. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And that got me thinking about the difference about some of the places that I'm seeing up here being affected by the fire. So I thought I'd talk to you about that a little bit tonight, about how some are prepared and some are not. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. But we want to open up with a word of prayer. I hope that as I try to say every opportunity that I get to talk to you, that I get to fellowship with you, even if we don't talk or even if we're not face-to-face, to be prepared. And part of that is to be prayed up. It is. Prepare your day. We can prepare our day each and every day, and therefore we prepare our days if we start our days with prayer. If we start our trips with prayer. If we start this broadcast with a prayer. Those type things. And so I encourage you to do that. I hope that you are doing that. I hope it's at least a reminder to you to take time to pray. Take time to pray. We'll do that right now. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you give us. Father, your word says you work all things for good for those that love you. And we sure do our best to love you. We try. And help us to remember that you work all things for good when we do that, when we love you and for those that love you. We can't control those things, Lord, but we can control whether we love you or not, whether we obey you or not, whether we obey your word, whether we take your word to heart and apply it in our lives and do our best to be doers of the word. Help us to do that very thing, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord, let us be doers of the word and not doers of just what we hear maybe somebody say that the word says. But Father, open the eyes of your people that they would have wisdom and discernment and the ability to read and understand for themselves what your word says, and to understand it and then to apply it in their lives. Help us to help them, O Lord. Help us to reach the remnant, to encourage them. I pray, Lord, that my broadcast would be an encouragement, that tonight would be an encouragement to your people. Father, to remind them that you're in control, that you are in control, and I thank you for that. We pray for our land, O Lord. Our land, the west is on fire. The south and the east are having storms, Lord, in the physical and in the political realm, Lord, we're on fire and having storms as well. And in the health realm, Lord, we're on fire and having storms, not just in the physical, but in many different realms, Lord. In the social realm, Lord, our society itself is tearing itself apart. We need your intervention. We cry out to you, O Lord, to save us. To save us as individuals, to save us as families, to save us as communities, as counties, as towns, as cities, as states, as a nation. Save us, O Lord. Your word says that whom the Son saves is saved indeed. And we cry out for that, Lord, for you to open the eyes of your people and to change their hearts, to cause them to return to you in love and in deed and in repentance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that allows us to come before your throne. For those of us that have been washed by his blood, that have repented, that have been called friend by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that that allows us to come before you, O Heavenly Father, with our requests, and we do that. Save us, O Lord, and we pray all this to the glory in honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and Kinsman Redeemer. Amen. Well, Remnant, we are. We do ask for your prayers out here. Not that the Radio Ranch is in being threatened by fire or the church, but we have them nearby. If you've noticed, we've got the Mullen Fire just west of Laramie, and it's up to about 107,000 acres. The winds are driving the fire, causing it to grow. Just south of us is the Cameron Peak Fire. It's been burning for about 4 or 5 weeks now, 6 weeks, I think, and well over 100,000 acres, and it has moved, and both fires have been destructive fires. You know, fire is a natural part of the environment. It's a natural part of the forest. It's how God made it. And if you just, if everything was left alone and there was no human intervention, the fires, they still come. Lightning, and the forests burn. It's part of it. The trees themselves, especially the pines, they need fire. They require fire to reproduce. The pine cones fall, and they won't just grow new trees encapsulated in the resin and the pine cone. No, they need fire to burn that outer pine cone off, to burn that resin off, so that the seed can be released and grow and cause new trees. And so it's part of the natural life cycle of the forest. Whether you like that or not, whether you prepare for it or not, and normally it's not an issue. It was not an issue up until about the last 75 years in this country, when people started moving into the forest, and we started having, you know, not only homes but resources, water supplies, and things like that. And so, you know, the knowledge that people have in dealing with forest fires is increasing. There for a while, the policy was, you know, get it out by 10 a.m. the next morning. And so it just didn't, that didn't work. Hey, we're going to have a song. I'll be back right after this.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel?
Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings.
I don't know about you, but I sure like Carl Klingz. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? I hope you can. When you see what's going on, when I see, and I talk about these fires because that's, we're having it, and we've been on the volunteer fire department for years out here, but when I see these fires that we're having, record years here, we've never had anything like this around here that we have. But you know, Oregon, the fires they've had, the eight or nine small towns that have burned up this year, they haven't had, as long as anybody can remember, they don't remember anything like that happening. California, record fires again this year. You go back 10, 12 years ago, and remember the sermons that Pastor gave, why the California fires are burning. There were record fires then, every year, and it's just continued to get worse and worse and worse. We see the political climate, the division that's coming across our country. That's the kingdom coming. It's what that is. See, that's that separation of the tares and the wheat. The goats to the left, the Bible says, and my sheep to the right. See, that's happening, folks. It's happening right before our eyes, like our beloved departed friend Carl Klingz was singing there. Right before our eyes. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? And because see, those that are worse, like we've read in Revelations many times, those that are filthy still. They just get worse and worse and worse. But there's those that are making better decisions. There's those, and I hope you see it out there, Remnant, that are praying more. The Christians are. That are showing more concern for their neighbor than maybe last year. That are showing more concern and care for their leaders, for their mayors and their governors and their president than in the past. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. And no, it's not perfect. No, it hadn't happened yet, but the kingdom is coming. Reminds me of that song, There's a Great Day Coming. I don't have it queued up here to play tonight, but there is a great day coming, and it's a great day for those that love the Lord. But it's a sad day, same day, the same day. It's a great day for those of us that love the Lord, and we look forward to it. But it's a sad day for those that do not know Him, for those that do not have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the right relationship, for those that do not trust and obey. See, all this, it's all coming together, folks. It's all coming together. Like those pieces of a puzzle, you dump out a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and we always start on the edges, right? Well, actually, we start putting them all face up so we can see them. And then we kind of start with the edges. We get all the edge pieces together, right? Oh, there's a corner. Hey, that goes in one of four places. That fits. And the edge, and then there's another corner. We get the corners together, and then we look at the picture. And, you know, that's how the puzzle works. We start, you don't just, it doesn't all come at once. It all just looks like a mess at first. But then it slowly starts fitting together. You get those corners. And you realize, no, that corner doesn't go there. It goes over here. And then a couple, these two edge pieces go together. And sometimes you might put some together that you think they fit, but they don't. So you might have to go back to them sometimes. Well, that's how this Bible is. That's how our life is right now. That's how our land and the time that we live in is. But it's coming together. It is. It is. We feel. Not using our feelings, but we see and we feel and we are experiencing the kingdom coming. We are. See, God is ready for His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray that, Thy will be done, you know, Lord, bring it here as it is in heaven. He's ready for that. He's waiting on us to turn back to his law. He's waiting for our obedience to be complete so that the disobedience can be punished. So we have to continue to work towards that. I think about in Branson a few years ago, the theme was sanctification. And boy, that's a big old fancy word, but it means leading a holy life, doing our best to follow his laws, statutes, and judgments in our lives. Because see, that's where it starts. That's where his kingdom starts. Is obeying his word. Now we understand the law is a tutor to bring us to Christ. And Christ was the fulfillment of the law. We're not saying go back and start sacrificing goats and turtle doves. And No. Christ is our sacrifice. We understand that. But see, it's still the way. He is the way. And the way that's outlined here, you know, loving your neighbor as yourself, doing unto others as you would have others do unto you, forgiving, taking an offense. I was on the fire the other morning, and a local firefighter was on it and came up, and he just started ripping into one of the supervisors that's on there, that's a local guy, and he's this and blah blah, and he made me mad. He's calling the pot calling the kettle black and all this stuff. And I told him, I said, you know, just if what he did offended you, just take the offense. Just take it. You're big enough. You got broad enough shoulders. You've got enough experience. You know that guy's not perfect. Just take it. And it was like talking to a goat. Okay? Because he wouldn't do that. No. He's got to rant and rave. And see, he's lost, you might say. Well, I get off course. The kingdom is coming. Parts of it are here. And God is ready for his kingdom here on earth. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? You know, in Matthew 24, we've read this many times, but it's a good reminder for all of us. It really is. Matthew 24, 43 and 44 says, "But be sure of this." You know, that's like a double emphasis. That's like double dog sure. Take this to the bank, we say. My dad used to say this. You can take that to the bank. Well, it was a saying. But here in the word, be sure of this. Now, when we read the word, we can be sure of it. This is like a double emphasis. It's like an exclamation point at the beginning of the sentence. Don't doubt this. Don't doubt it, because this is as right and real and true as it gets. This is right as rain, we might say. Be sure of this. That if the head of the house had known at what time of the night that the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Okay? We can understand that. We can understand that. If you got a text, you know, if you had a thief alert on your phone, most everybody's got a smartphone, and we get texts and alerts and, you know, set our alarms to get up and alerts for this or that. If we got an alert that said, hey, the thieves are coming in at 2:47 this morning, well, we'd be up. We'd be on the alert. About 2:30, we'd be woke up and we'd get the shotguns out and turn the lights on and we'd be ready. Right? If you knew. Be sure if you knew. But verse 44 says, for this reason, you be ready too. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. So you better be prepared and be ready. Right? You have to be ready. You remember being ready? The wise virgins in Matthew 25, since we're there in Matthew, the wise virgins, see, they were ready. Now, they fell asleep just like the foolish virgins did. And, of course, we certainly allude or attribute would be the right word, I guess, that the parable of the wise and foolish virgins to Christians today. To Christians today. They're they're ready. They're looking forward to, they're preparing, but some are ready and some aren't. Some have prepared, some haven't. It's a parable that we should read, that should convict each and every one of us every time we read it. Do we fall in the category of the wise virgins that even though we've fallen asleep, maybe we've got our oil, we've trimmed our wicks, put our house in order, I think what that means, that we're ready and we're prepared. We're expecting it. Remember that first of the year, I brought a message at church talking about the number 20. And it's an expectation is what it means from Bullinger's Book of Numbers. It's an expectation, a knowing expectation. Knowing something is happening. Something is going to happen and you know it is. It's just it's like a waiting for it. It's like the final part of waiting. And it makes a reference, I don't have my notes here in front of me about that, but about how the ark waited 20 years in certain places. It knew it was moving, you know, the plan was it was moving back to Israel, to where it needed to be, but it waited there for 20 years. It was like this time period, this anticipatory waiting had to wait that long. And that's kind of where we are. But it alludes also to an understanding of what's coming. And it's just it's like this period of waiting, for we know what's coming. And I think that's where we're at. We're in a double portion of that this year, aren't we? Man, we're in a double portion of it here in 2020. A double portion of this anticipatory expectation. How many times do we read that in the Bible? You know, you have no need. You know, you see the signs of the times. And it's Carl Klang saying, can't you feel the kingdom coming with all these things going on? So be ready. You can feel it coming. You might not know when, exactly when. No, we don't know exactly when, but it's coming. It is. You know, in Matthew 25:10, talking about the wise and foolish virgins. We'll start in verse 10. 25:10 says, and while they were going away to make the purchase, remember the foolish virgins didn't have their oil. And when the time came, hey, the bridegroom's here, let's go. The foolish virgins weren't ready. And, hey, share with us. And as much as we like to share, as much as we give, you know, for the most part, the American people give you, what do we say? He would give you the shirt off his back, right? That's what we talk about when we talk about sharing, and we talk about how we will help each other. And this fire we're having here is a perfect example, and we see it almost everywhere. We sure see it out here in small town America. The Elks called me yesterday, said, "Hey, we got a $300 check for you for the fire department. What else can we do?" You know, the donations have been pouring in, as you know, water and just anything. People asking, what can we do to help? See, we're more than willing to share. And that's because that law is written on our heart, to do unto others, right? To share one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. See, our people do that without even knowing it. But in this parable that Jesus gives, the wise virgins did not share that oil. What did they say? No, we don't have there's not enough. If we give to you, we won't have enough. And so that's a biblical principle, at least in this application, and talking about the, you know, comparing the kingdom of heaven to this, and when the bridegroom comes. So we can't expect, and I think the learning here is, don't expect to get some from your neighbors when this time comes. And those foolish ones, let's read it. While they were going away to make the purchase, that's the foolish ones, the bridegroom came. Ooh, the bridegroom came. Ooh, just think about that. The bridegroom came. It's talking about Christ. His return, because the bridegroom's coming. He's coming for his bride, his church, his people. For those that are ready, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Those who were ready. If you've got your Bibles, you better highlight that one. I've got it bolded. I've got it highlighted. Those who were ready. Does that mean everybody? No. Not everybody went. Not everybody went when the bridegroom came. Not everybody goes with him. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." And see, that's that sad day for some that aren't ready. That's that sad day. What a sad day. What a sad day for those that hear, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." Oh, what a sad day that's going to be for those. Verse 13 is the warning. It says, "Then, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." You do not know. See, the wise virgins didn't know the day or the hour. Neither did the foolish ones. But the wise ones were ready. They were prepared. They were prepared. I told you earlier, God's ready. Psalm 7:11 says, "God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword." That's not the man. That's God. It could read, "If a man does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. God has bent God's bow and made it ready. God has prepared for himself deadly weapons. God makes his arrows fiery shafts." See, God is ready. And he wants us to be ready too. Because the kingdom is coming. It's ready. You know, 2 Timothy 4 says, "Be ready." Be ready, in season and out of season. How do you be ready? How can you be ready? What do we do? I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I hope you want to be ready. So what do we do? What do we do? It says right there. 2 Timothy 4. It's verse 2. It says, "Be ready in season and out of season." Be ready. How? How do you do that? It tells you right there. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. With great patience and instruction. Okay? Now, I don't have a bunch examples of how to do this. But reprove, you know, reprove. Hey, if we see something wrong, if we have a brother that's in error, if we see injustice or unrighteousness, we should bring attention to it. Okay, how about that? Reprove. Rebuke. Okay, rebuke. And that's a hard one without seeming self-righteous. It is. Exhort. I think about encourage when I see that word exhort. Encourage. Exhort. Exhort's not a word we really use a lot in, you know, our everyday language. When we are in the checkout line at the grocery store, that's not a word we use. You know, it's not. But I think of encourage, and I think that kind of fits. That it can fit right in there. So we can encourage. You know, even if it is that person in the checkout line. "Hey, thank you. Have a good day. Thank you for being here." Encourage one another. "Hey, hang in there." Tell people you're praying for them. And pray for them if that's what's needed. That's how we get ready. Now, that's not the only thing we do, but that's what the Bible says. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now further instructions. With great patience and instruction. And then it says why. Why? How is that getting ready? Then it tells us, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. And that describes October 1st, 2020, today. In our society, in our political field, in our society, in our neighborhoods, in many homes, in many churches, unfortunately. In the workplace, they have turned away their ears from the truth and have turned to myths. And that's where we are. That's where we are. That's where we are as a people. We cannot be that way, because can't you feel the kingdom coming? See, the kingdom's coming. It's coming. It's raging in faster than this forest fire right over here that burns. I think it increased 7,000 acres yesterday morning between daylight and 1 p.m. It grew 7,000 acres. And it was just getting started. And the kingdom is coming faster than that. It is. So you have to be ready. Okay? You have to be ready. You know, God's ready to forgive. He is. He's ready to heal when His people will do what His Word says. He is. We have to practice, right? We have to be practicing. We have to be practicing things like righteousness and justice and mercy. That's what we have to do. We have to be prepared. You know, Psalms 91, we talk a lot about Psalms 91. We've been sending out hundreds of the bookmarkers as people have requested them. Some people have ordered, you know, have ordered them in, and we hope that it's an encouragement to you. The promises of Psalms 91 are for those that have prepared. Think about that. The promises of Psalms 91 are not for every single person. It's for those that have prepared. I told you, we just had these big fires up here. And it's really hard. You know, some homes have been lost. I think 29 homes and probably more. That was just like 2 days ago, the numbers. And they're still looking. The fire's still raging. But there's some homes that survived the fire. Okay, and the ones that have survived it, the people were prepared. And I'm talking about homes up in the forest for the most part, private little subdivisions in the forest. But the ones that usually survive are the ones that are prepared. The ones that have, you know, don't have a lot of brush right up against the house. That have the trees spaced out so that if one catches fire, it doesn't catch them all on fire. You know, the ones that have survived, that they've just, not to get into all of it, we don't have time tonight, but that if they've prepared for a wildfire. Maybe they have sprinklers. Maybe they keep the grass and whatnot around the house very short. They've prepared so that if, when a fire comes through, you know, they built their house out of metal. They have maybe metal siding and metal roofing and things like that. They're prepared for what's coming. And they survive it. And then I see the ones that are not prepared. For whatever reason. It doesn't matter the reason. They just aren't prepared. There's two cords of firewood on the deck. There's trees all around it. There's brush. There's 30-year-old rose bushes and brushes growing all around the house to where you can barely see the house. And that's not prepared for a wildfire. The fire's going to catch in there, a spot or something is, and it's going to burn. And it's going to destroy the house. It's just that way in the physical. Doesn't need to be any feelings about it. We might feel bad about it, but it's just either prepared or not. And it makes me think time and time again, the more I see this, about that parable of the wise and foolish virgins. You know, well, why wouldn't the wise virgins just loan them a little bit of oil? Just, hey, we'll split it with you. It just doesn't, that's not how Christ describes it. So that's not how it's going to be. See, when the time comes, the time is there. It's right now. I've seen that in these fires. We've had a few days to get up and work around. I did that all weekend. Missed church Sunday hated to do that, but up trying to save people's houses, getting sprinklers out and cutting trees and limbs away from people's homes and putting sprinklers out and setting all that up and to try to help to save people's homes. But when that fire comes, you're either prepared or not. And to those, the ones that we work on saving those homes are the ones that have prepared. You get up there, and if there's big old trees all around the house and bushes and all that, you just don't have time to clear all that out. There's just not enough time or manpower. There's not. So there's nothing you can do. It's like that parable. Hey, when the bridegroom comes, when he's there, behold, the bridegroom came. Now is the time. When that time comes, it's it. That's it. You try to repent then. You try to rebuke and exhort and have patience and instruction and try to share love and forgive and all that. Then it's too late. It's too late. It's not too late now to practice these things, to be getting ready. It's not too late now. You know, Galatians 5 talks about the deeds of the flesh, idolatry and sorcery and outbursts of anger and impurity and immorality and jealousy and strife and read it. Galatians 5. I don't have time to really get through all of it tonight. Galatians 5, 19 and 20 and 21 and he says, these things that I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can't be practicing those things. And if you are, you need to stop. Read the list. You can go to 2 Corinthians, read the other list of those who practice those things will not inherit the kingdom. That's what you have to do to get ready. Just like on a fire. Hey, don't have these, you got to be prepared. Don't have these things growing right up next to your house, okay? Because it's not going to lead to good things. Verse 22 of Galatians 5 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We've overcome them, I might add. Not that you don't have them, but we overcome them. We are, the Spirit is stronger than that flesh. Okay? Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us make sure that we have that Spirit that is stronger than the flesh. That we do have peace. I got a neighbor over here, my neighbor Cowboy Paul. You've heard me talk about him for years. It's a sad day here, not like I've been talking about. It's a good day for Paul and his family. They have sold their ranch here. They're moving out to Nevada to be closer to family, to start a new life out there. Same family, but a new life. It's time to move, and he's been trying to do this for 2.5 years, and it just has not worked. It just hasn't been in God's timing yet. They're a Christian family. But lately, things have been falling in place, and he's had a peace about it. See, he's had patience over the last couple years. They've had, I think, 3 times the people have wanted to buy it and something fell through, financing or this or that, something. But he's had a patience about it. He has. And they closed yesterday. And I talked to him today and he said, "You know, Richard, it's sure different." He said, but I have a peace about it. We've sold our cows. We're going to buy some more cows out there. Still going to cowboy, still going to be a ranch family, ranch home. But but out in Nevada. And he said, but I've got a piece about it. He said, you know, we got our ranch sold. He said, we paid our trucks off, and it's a piece. And that's what I explained to him. I said, you know, I said, Paul, that's that peace that surpasses understanding. That is part of that peace, the peace of Christ, the, you know, that guards our hearts. Because you've been patient in this and praying for God's leading and God to take care of this, and he has. See, that's practicing that peace and that patience. Sometimes we have to do that. We have to wait on the Lord. But when we do these things, see, then I'll get back to Psalms 91. I've got time. I want to cover this. That the promises of Psalms 91 are for those that are ready, for those that are prepared, for those that, well, as it says, for you have made, see, it's for those that have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Have you done that? Have you made God your dwelling place? It says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. See, it's for those that are prepared, that have done what they're supposed to do. For those of us that, and we're far from perfect, we're far from having our obedience complete, we are. But we're moving in that direction. And we're praying to move in that direction faster. And we're praying to be more obedient, for God to lead us in his obedience. For us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But it's for those that have loved him that get delivered. I hope that this makes sense to you. That you know, think about it. It's the wise virgins that had the oil of understanding. They had that oil in their lamps. They were ready. They were prepared. Psalms 91 says, I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. No, not some Yahooey Fooey name. That's not what we're talking about. The name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. This is back in Psalms. Jesus Christ. Because he has known my name. His name is Abba, Father. How about that? His name is Jesus. The name that the Father gave the Son, that the Son said, I've glorified your name, the name you gave me. Your name, the name you gave me, he says there in, where's that in John? Those that know his name, that call upon me, he says, he will call upon me and I will answer him. Those that call upon him, that follow it, it says there, where is that, in Isaiah or Jeremiah, the beginning there, that says, I don't hear your prayers because your hands are covered in blood. But then he says, wash them, cleanse them, then I'll hear your prayer. See, it's those that call upon him that have obeyed that part. And how are we cleansed? Except through the blood of Christ. And how do we contact that blood except through baptism? Full immersion baptism, repentance. Brother Warren called, said he got his great niece and her hopeful husband baptized last night. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It's a start. No, is it the baptism saves you? Peter says that. Baptism now saves you. For those that have made the Lord your dwelling place, these promises of Psalms 91, as the kingdom comes, they're for each and every one of us. You know, it starts out, this is for he who dwells in the shelter. For those that dwell in the shelter of the Most High, whoo, you got that peace. We have that peace. For those that say, my God, in whom I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord, to get our communities through these fires. I trust you, Lord, to fix our political system. I trust you, Lord, to give us godly leaders that fear you and love you and revere you. I trust you, Lord, to do that. I trust your word where it says pray for our leaders so that we can have a quiet and tranquil life. I believe that. I trust in you for that, Lord. And I do that and I claim that. Pray for your leaders so you can have a quiet and tranquil life. If you want to be healed, folks, read James 5. Pray for others. Pray for others so you may be healed. I believe that. And I claim that. That's part of the kingdom. It's part of the kingdom. I love Psalms 91. I've even got my bookmarker highlighted, as well as my Bible. If you'd like one, contact us. We'll be glad to send it out to you. We'd sure appreciate a contribution to help with postage. Shipping has just gone crazy these days. It really has. You know, we also have this little book Pastor put together called The I Am Confessional. And it is a... It's mainly scripture. I'd say probably 90% scripture. A little bit of introduction and an explanation from the pastor. You know, sometimes we feel weak. We feel alone. We feel discouraged. David felt that way. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." When we speak these I Am confessionals, we do that very thing. We are strengthened. Our bodies, physically, spiritually, are strengthened in the Lord our God. It's one of those, believe it or not, it really is. David was, and he slew giants. And you know why he was able to slew giants? Because he was ready. He was prepared for that. Remember what he told Saul? "Hey, I've been out watching sheep, but when the lion came, I killed him. And when the bear came or the wolf, I killed him. I protected the sheep, and I'm going to... You know, I killed those predators that came, and I'll do the same to this one." And he did. See, he was ready. He was prepared. This I Am confessional. If you don't have one, get it out. If you have one. If you don't, write to us. We've got plenty. I'll send you one. It's a good reminder. A good encouragement. It's like that protein powder you can buy and mix up, or you know, it's go juice. It's strengthening the promises of God, claiming them and knowing that they are yours. Men, as you get older, claim that promise of Caleb. He was 85 when he went to Joshua and said, "Give me this land that Moses promised to me." He says, I'm 85, but I'm as strong as I was at half my age." Claim that, men. Claim it. It's a promise of God. I'm running out of time, I know. I want to close with this. A couple scriptures here. Hebrews 5:12 through 14. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." We hope you keep practicing. Okay, remnant? Keep practicing those things that are good and honorable to God. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. Sorry I didn't get the phone lines open up tonight. I want to invite you back to join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We will, good Lord willing, have the phone lines open Saturday morning. We'll be glad to take your call, and we look forward to having coffee with you. We'll gather with our coffee and our Bibles for good, godly Christian fellowship. Okay? And I hope that I hope you'll join us. You can tune in here on wherever you're tuning in, on the shortwave, on the internet stream, at the website, on your phone. We have the call-in numbers in the newsletter, and so we hope that you do join us. Well, again, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. God bless.